Good morning. I thank the Lord not only for the service thus far, but I thank the Lord for that song. I need a refuge. I need a hiding place. And I need a shelter.
Yes.
And so I'm glad to know the Lord this morning. I'm glad to have him as my friend. My goal and aim and my desire is to be his friend. He has surely been a friend to me.
Yes.
Also, I want to do what he has tasked me to do, and I want to do it in a way that be pleasing and honoring in his sight. And so I desire your prayers. The enemy is always looking for a way to hinder the word of God. He wants to hinder you in your walk with God. He doesn't even want you to be saved. And so he's always looking for a way to hinder you. But by the grace and help of God, we came to serve the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We want to be men, women, and children of God. And we want to make heaven our home. So I desire your prayers this morning. I believe the Lord give us a message, something that is not going to be too long by the help of the Lord. I know I've said that before, but hopefully by the help of the Lord we can get to it and get the good out of it, and may it be a blessing and an encouragement to your soul this morning. The message, if it were to be entitled, would be entitled as Now or Later? Now or later? All right? And so when I was young, I used to like to eat, I like to eat candy now, but when I was young, I used to like to eat candy, and there was this candy that was called Now and Later. Now and Later. And these candies were really good. I said they were really good. They're okay now. They're not as good as they used to be. But it seemed like we used to get these candies. Maybe it was because they stayed on the shelf so long, but they'd be super hard, and they'd be super tasteful. They'd be very strong in taste. And so I used to buy them. I didn't have very much money back then, and you didn't need a lot of money. You could go to a place called a penny store, and you can go and buy these candies, and you get you a whole bunch of candy. And I used to buy them, and the point is you could eat these candies, you could eat them now, you could eat them later, it didn't really matter because they were good regardless. And sometimes in our lives we have decisions to make. And when there are decisions whether or not to eat candy now or later, it doesn't really matter, right? Not a big deal. But when it comes to the matter of our souls, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
The candy was labeled Now and Later. The message is entitled Now or Later. All right? So I want you to dial in this morning by the grace and help of God, and let's see what the Lord has for us. When it comes to serious decisions in our lives, choices, they range from very important to not very important at all. Let's go to Joshua 24 and verse number 14 and verse number 15. I want us to understand that some decisions are of the utmost importance, and that we are making decisions all the time, whether we know it or not. If you decide to not do something about something that is important, that is a decision. Deciding not to deal with something is a decision. And some decisions you don't have the opportunity to get to later on. You got to get to those decisions now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. And so you have to understand that every day that God gives you, you and I are making a decision about the destination of our eternity-bound souls. I'm talking to a child of God, those that are saved, on up to those that are not saved. It is all a decision that we are making, and we got to be serious about this decision. This decision is of the utmost importance. What does it read down there in Joshua chapter 24, verses number 14 on through verse number 15?
Now therefore, fear the Lord.
All right, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and serve him in truth.
And put away the gods of your fathers.
Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt and serve you the Lord.
If it seem evil
to you to serve the Lord,
choose you
this day who you will serve. On the other side of the flood.
The Amorites,
all right. All right.
But as for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord. This is Brother Joshua. And he's speaking to, who's he speaking to right now? Speaking to the Israelites, to the children of Israel. And he's saying, there's a choice that is before you. All right? And what he's letting them know is this choice is of the utmost importance. You have to make a choice as to who you're going to serve. See, back in the olden times, the Israelites were considered the people of God. And so in the new times, we, those that are saved, are considered the people of God. And so the choices that they had to make back then, remember he said that to make a choice, who you going to serve? You're going to serve the gods, plural, on the other side of the flood? And let's pause there and let's figure out what he's talking about when it comes to the gods, plural, with a little g, on the other side of the flood. Were those gods of any good? No, they were not. Those people that got into some idol worship. The Bible says, I'll have no other God before me. He said, I am the Lord your God. You're going to have to serve me. I'm not going to have no other God before me. And so what had happened was, before the flood came, the people had gotten into idol worship, and they were worshiping gods that they had made up. They were worshiping molten images, things that they had made up in their mind. In the same way, those same gods exist today. There are many gods with a little g. They're not going to get you to heaven. They're not going to make your life better. They're not going to help you. But you can pray to them. You can spend time with them. You can think that they are important. But the flood, so to speak, is coming. When we disobey the Lord, when we don't live to all that we know and we understand, we are serving gods that are not going to be of any benefit to us in the end. May God help us. The reason why the Lord destroyed the earth through the flood and Noah was saved, because he remembered who God was. He chose who he was going to serve, and he stuck with God. But many times, if we're not careful, on a day-to-day basis, we have an opportunity to choose who we're going to serve. And if we make the wrong choice, we'll be destroyed just like those that were in the flood. May God help us this morning. This is a serious subject this morning. Now or later, are you going to serve God? If you're going to serve God, when are you going to serve him? When are you going to serve him? Is tomorrow promised to you? Huh? Tomorrow ain't promised. Well, let me tell you something else. Not only is not tomorrow promised, but the rest of today is not promised. May God help us this morning. We just assume that we'll be okay because we are okay. You see? And we take things for granted, don't we? God come and deal with our hearts. He come and deal with us, and he gives us a choice. It's up to us to make the right choice. By the grace and help of God, we are to be making the right. I know it's heavy. May God help us this morning. But this is what the Lord gave me. The Lord is calling for someone's soul. The Lord is calling for someone's heart. And he wants you to yield.
Yeah.
He wants you to yield unto his wooing spirit while there's time and opportunity. Tomorrow is not promised. The rest of the day is not promised. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. May God help us this morning. Get a hold of the Lord while there's time and opportunity. May God help us this morning. Want us to go to Luke, chapter number 19 and verse number 10. God has an intent for you and for me. He has something in his mind. Do you know that before you were born, God thought about you and he knew who you were and he had a plan for your life? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yes. The Bible says he's got thoughts of good and not of evil to bring you to an expected end.
Yes.
The Bible says also that there's a book of life.
Yes.
And your name is already in there. But we can do things to get it blotted out. See, we don't talk about that a lot. But what we do and what we don't do can cause our name to be blotted out, the Lamb's Book of Life. All right? And so that same book, when he opens the book and talk about in Revelation, he's going to open the book, and if your name is in there and it has not been blotted out, then you get to go to heaven. Praise God. But if your name is in there but it's been blotted out, you don't get to go to heaven. All right? But God's intent, God's desire for you and for me is to make heaven our home. Not only did he provide a way for us to be saved, but he provides a way on a daily basis for us to keep saved. He's mighty to save, and he's mighty to keep. And so what God wants to do is save us if we're not saved. And then once we are saved, he wants to lead and guide and direct us through this life, on in and through eternity by the grace and help of God. But you and I have to make a choice, and whether or not we know it or not, we are making choices on a daily basis as to where we're going to end up in eternity. May God help us this morning. I want to read Luke 19 and 10. Does someone have that? Go ahead and read it if you do.
For the Son of Man is come.
All right.
To seek and to save.
It says he came, the Son of Man, who are they talking about here?
Jesus
Christ, the righteous.
Yeah.
It says the Son of God. The Son of God, the Son of Man has come. So he's talking about God's Son came down here to come and find you, to come and find me. I want you to think about this in a personal way. Jesus Christ came so that you personally can be saved. So you personally can have the benefits not only of salvation in this life, but in the life to come. He meant that for you, and he meant that for me. Praise God this morning. And so he said he came not only to save, but he came to seek and to save that which are lost. Sometimes when someone is lost, they have to be found. And so what God did is he saw a whole bunch of people that were lost, going in the wrong direction and had no hope and no help in sight. And so he sent his Son to come find you. Come find me. When God saved me, he came and found me. All right? He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me not with standing off. He near my soul has always stood. Loving kindness, oh how good. God's loving kindness, it drew me. He came and found me, and then he saved me. And I'm saved to this day by the grace and help of God.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something else. If I can be saved, anybody can be saved. I'll say that again. If Clifford Henry Grimes Jr. can be saved, anybody can be saved. Because he saved me from not only what I was into, but what I was going to be into.
Yes.
And he's been keeping me ever since. And through all my shortcomings and faults and failures, he hadn't gave up on me yet. He's been merciful and kind. He's been gracious and good. He loved me all the time, and he's good to me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going with the Lord. And so I want to encourage you this morning that God can not only save you, but he can keep you. The devil will tell you something else. The devil will tell you you're too bad. You can't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. It's hard for you to do. You know what you've done, and you know what you're doing. Ain't no way you're going to do it. But see, what he's not saying is that once you're saved, that it's God in us that works and deals and helps us to do right. That's the key difference there. That's the key difference there. You can't go to heaven by yourself, and you're not going to go to heaven on your own will. You're not going to do it like that. You're going to let God have your, take my life and let it be. God's going to live and dwell in you as you allow him to, and he'll work in and through you and give you power over yourself, over the world, and over the enemy. You can be a child of God, and you can live a successful Christian life. Praise God this morning. I'm telling you, it's the truth. May God help us this morning. So he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But you and I have to make a choice, and we have to make a decision. All right? And we're doing that. We're making those choices every day. One of those questions that need to be answered, one of the choices that we have to make is, am I going to give my heart to the Lord? One thing about God, I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's because, well, I know he set it up this way. But one thing that can hinder the will of God is what? My will. He will not make you do nothing. I wish it was a little different than that. I wish he kind of grabbed some folks by the neck, grabbed me by the nape of the neck, and dragged me into the kingdom. I wish he'd do that. Because it's good for me anyway. But God doesn't do that. What he does do is he shows us our lives. He shows us the lives of others. He gives us an understanding that this direction is not going to end well. We start seeing changes in our own selves that we don't even like, and nobody don't like either. And we can't do anything about it. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
He said he'll come in and he'll make his abode with us. He'll come on in and he'll help us out. But we say, well, Lord, I'm hearing you, but my inclination, I'm just not naturally inclined to live safe. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do all that kind of stuff like that. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is a change that happens to us when we give our heart to the Lord. Not only do we disconnect ourselves from our old master, but that old man and that old way, he begins to change us and make us into something else. And so we may not be naturally a person that is humble or patient or kind or merciful or long-suffering. I'm sure people have some measure of those types of things. But we don't have what God wants us to have without God. We need God to do that. And so what God does is he saves us and then he begins to change us. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. And so he teaches us his way. And so God wants to do that for us. But it's a choice that I have to make. Do I want to live for the Lord? Do I see the direction I'm going in and that I'm headed in? And do I see it as something that is unhealthy for me? Listen, do you know that you can know what's good for you but not particularly want to do it? You can know what's good for you, but not really want to do it. What God does in that situation, God has provided a way for that person as well. What he does is he can help our want to. He can help our want to. What we do is we say, Lord, I know what's good for me. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I keep on failing. I keep on falling in these same areas. And Lord, I see that I'm never going to get over this without your help. And so I know that your way is right. I know it's right. But Lord, I don't really want to do it. I need you to help me to want to do it. And God is able to do that. It's God that worketh in us both to what?
To will
and then what? To do of his good pleasure. If I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. Right? And so I need the Lord to help me to want to do it. You'll find that even in salvation, you'll come to places where you need God to work on your will and to help you with your will. I saw the death I had to die, the death in which my heart did cry. The frightening waves, my heart did chill, but what? I must yield. Why? It's heaven's will. And so what God can do is he can help us to want to do it and then help us to do it by the grace and help of God. All right, so one decision I have to make is if I'm a sinner is if I'm going to be saved. And if I'm saved, I need to make the decision if I'm going to serve the Lord with my whole heart or if I'm going to be right out here on the edge, salvation being here in between my legs, all right, and everything to the right is salvation, and everything to the left is the world and sin and what God is not pleased with. And I want to, some of us, by the help of the Lord, if we're not careful, we got our foot over here in God's kingdom, and we got our foot over here in the enemy's kingdom. Okay? These are choices.
Yes.
All right? How likely is it that the enemy can get to us if we were to take our foot out of the enemy's kingdom and start moving as close to God as we possibly can? How can he get us if we're way over here close to God? All right? The Bible says, draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. He says, if you, Lord help me, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? You can't walk in the Spirit, but also be having our hand holding on to the world, holding on to the things that we have left behind. You can't walk in the Spirit that way. Okay? We have to let go of the world, have to let go of sin, have to let go of whatever it is that would hinder us from being the child of God that he wants us to be. Let go of it, turn our back on it, and move forward by the grace and help of God to live for God in spirit and in truth with our whole heart. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and what? And in truth. So may the Lord help us. God's wanting that for us. And so the Christian has a decision to make. What kind of life am I going to live? Am I going to be barely making it? Or am I going to go all out for the Lord? God has nothing but goodness for us.
That's true.
We have to believe it. We have to pursue it. And we have to gain that and then maintain that by the help of the Lord. It's what you want. You understand? We make a choice. I can live my salvation as shabby as I want to, and I might make it in, but then again, I might not. Huh? Huh? Help us, Lord. Now or later, if you've been saved for some time, and you know that you haven't really given your heart to the Lord like you need to, you're saved, and you're living right, and you're checking all the boxes by the help of the Lord, but you're not really giving your all to the Lord. You got a choice to make, and you're making those choices every single day. May God help us. May God help us. I'm making those choices. Anytime I see that God is dealing with me about something, I need to ask the Lord to help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. I want to yield.
Yes.
I want to obey you, Lord.
Yes.
I want to live righteously and godly in this present world. Because you see, you understand, sometimes you don't have later. You think you have later.
True.
You think you have tomorrow. How many people have we lost recently right here amongst the saints? Thank God, I believe all of them were saved. But what did they do? They understood that now or later.
Right.
They took care of business when God dealt with them in the now.
Yeah.
You understand? But did you know that 151 to 170,000 people die every single day? Did you know that? Did you know that? That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a cemetery? Have you ever walked through a cemetery and looked down at the gravestones? If you start looking at the starting date and the ending date, you'll start seeing there are ages from young to middle age to old. You understand? And that's not to scare you. That's to make you aware of the fragility. Let me say it in a better way. Life is fragile. Time is precious and it's passing.
Yes.
Okay? Time, one of the things that don't stop is time.
Right.
Time is relentless.
Yes.
It doesn't stop. And so what we have to understand is we are in choice mode at all times, and it's either we're going to do it now or it might not get done. I want to read a couple of scriptures in and concerning the fragility of life, the fragileness of life. Somebody go with me to James 4 and 14, and someone else, if you would please, go to Job 14 and 12. James, I believe it was 4 and 14. Let's read that one first.
Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow.
You don't know what's going to be on the morrow.
For what is your life?
What is your life? It's a vapor. Appear for a little time, and then it vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, excuse me.
For that ye ought to say,
if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting also. So we'll stop at 15. The point is, if the Lord will, not only that, the key is to get a hold of what a vapor is. Do we all know what a vapor is? Okay?
Yeah.
This sounds like kind of dramatic, right? A vapor, when you talk about life, we say, well, that person lived to be 100 years old. That person lived to be 80 years old. And so we say, well, that don't seem like no vapor. But what you need to do is you need to look at it in terms of, so a vapor is a gaseous substance. It can be in the air for a few seconds, and then it's gone away, and we don't know where it went or what happened to it. All right? What you need to do is, when you're talking about vapor, okay, you're talking about the maw, M-A-W, of eternity. And then you start understanding how short and fleeting a life is.
Yes.
Eternity is unending. You see? It's unending. It doesn't stop. You see? So eternity was before our lives, before the world came into existence, eternity existed. So eternity's here. Our lives and our little short time on this earth is in the middle. And then eternity goes on. And it doesn't stop either way. It just keeps going. You see? And so, if it were, so what the enemy said, well, you're going to miss out. If you're saved, then you can't do a whole lot of things that are fun and awesome, and you're going to miss out, and you're not going to be cool. You'll never be cool as a Christian. Christians aren't cool. So, what you need to do is go ahead and trade this vapor for eternity. You see? This little old baby, whatever he's presenting as fun. Listen, I probably have more fun than most people. I've been saved for some time. I'm always having fun. Fun is not bad. Good, clean fun is not bad. Good, clean entertainment and enjoyment, that's not bad. Christians are allowed to have fun. I want to encourage you that in that way this morning. So I want to dispel that lie that the devil is telling you. But the enemy would like you to believe that if you're not doing something contrary to the word and to the way and to the will of God, you're not really having fun. Listen, these are lies. Okay? They're lies from the pit of hell. Okay? And everything you do against the word, way, and will of God has consequence that you don't want to deal with. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. Okay? So I'm encouraging you this morning to make a choice. Choose to use your vapor for Christ. Choose Christ for this short and fleeting time that you'll be here. Okay? And furthermore, you and I, listen, the Lord has been talking to me. I don't know how long I'm going to be here.
Right.
But if it's 50 more years, that's still a short amount of time.
Right.
Okay? So, Lord, help me to keep things in perspective. Let me be willing to live and serve you in this short amount of time that I have, And Lord, I can benefit and reap the benefits of eternity. But if not, then what I'm doing is I'm being tricked. One of the names of the enemy is he's a trickster. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber, you see? And so the reason why they call him a robber is because he'll rob you of your salvation. He'll rob you of your eternity, your blessings that God has for you. God has something for you. He's got eternity to live with him, and the enemy wants to steal that from you. And it is a theft because it's only a short amount of time that we're here anyway. It's only a short amount of time. It's just a little baby amount of time that we're here, and then we get to be with the Lord forevermore. May God help us this morning. So it's the theft of all eternity is what it is what he's trying to do. He's trying to take something from you that is rightfully yours. It's yours. Heaven is yours. God is yours if you want it. But you can't. It is. You know one thing I've learned. You know our parents used to teach us not to gamble, and I didn't fully understand. I said, well, this is my money, and we can get into all of that one day. Maybe we'll talk about gambling. But one of the things that's so wrong about gambling is, if you'll gamble with the things in the natural sense, you might gamble within the spiritual realm too.
Yeah, that's true.
You mess around and take a chance and lose out. All right? So may God help us this morning. What's the next scripture? Is it Job 14 and 12?
Job 14 and 12.
Yes?
So man lieth down,
yes,
and riseth up,
yes,
so that heaven be no more.
Yes?
They shall not wake nor be raised.
Yes.
Yeah,
so what he's talking about is, we're talking about how fragile life is. There's no guarantee that your life is going to continue like you think it will. But we're also talking about the finality of death and the eventuality of death. All right? Everyone is going to meet with death unless the Lord comes first. Either way, your life will be over at that point, life on earth. And so everyone is going to meet with death. And one thing I've learned, there hasn't been one person that I've run on yet that passed away that has come back, not one. That's it. When they die, they'll be dead evermore. That's the way it works. And so it says here in Hebrews 9 and 27, very familiar scripture, and it is appointed unto man once to die. I want you to get a hold of this. But after this, the judgment. God is going to judge you and I by the deeds that we have done in our bodies. God's going to judge us for what choices we have made in our lives. All right? And so what I encourage you to do is get to know the judge.
Yes.
Get a good relationship with the judge. You ever see somebody that know the judge and they come in before the judge, and they, before they even get to the case, they start talking about how things is going on and what's going on with them? That's what I want. When I go see the judge, I want him to know me. I want him to know that I'm on his side, and that I endeavored by the help and grace of God with all that I have. I strove to enter in at the straight gate. I fought for my salvation. I fought to live right. I did all that I could to live for the Lord by the help of the Lord. That's what I want to do. I want to have that relationship with the judge so that when I see him, this ain't the first time I've seen him. This ain't the first time I've had to acknowledge him and honor him. You know how you come into the courtroom, what they tell you to do when the judge come in? All right. This judge is going to be a little bit different, but it's the same concept. It says every knee shall what? Bow. And every tongue shall what? Confess. So you can confess now and you can bow now. You understand? If you have the opportunity to, if you got a need in your soul, if you need salvation, you need deliverance, you need help with whatever you need help with, why don't you confess now that Jesus is Lord? Why don't you bow now and get the help that you need? Because you're going to have to do it anyway. You're going to confess and you're going to bow in the end anyway. May as well do it now. May as well do it now and get the benefit not only of salvation in this life, but again, you can be with the Lord forevermore. May God bless and help us this morning. May He bless and be with us. All right, I want to talk about, I got two more things to talk about by the help of the Lord. I'm not going to get to all of this because my time is moving on me. I told you time don't stop. And so I want to talk to you about a few more things. And I just appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But this is serious to me. This is nothing to play with. I want to make sure that I make my calling and election sure. And so what coming to service is about is learning about what God is requiring of you and me and then asking Him to help us to do it and then do it by the grace and help of God.
Yes.
And I'm not exempt in no way, shape, or form. Because the same God you got to see, I got to see Him too. May God help us this morning. May God help us. There's also what's called the fragility of health. The blessings of health that we experience, no matter what condition you are in, if you're hearing this message, you have a certain level of physical health, certain level of mental, emotional, you have healthiness about you that God has bestowed upon you. You understand?
That's true.
But what's happening in these days and times is what they're saying is your health is your what? I can't hear you. Your health is your wealth. Is that true? Is it true? It is not true. See, what the enemy likes to do is he likes to give you most of the truth, but leave something out. If we said the same thing, but we said your soul's health is your wealth, that would be entirely and completely true.
Right.
All right? But what's happening is the enemy is promoting physical health over spiritual health. Don't get me wrong. I exercise all the time. I believe you're supposed to exercise. I believe you're supposed to be a good steward of what God has given you. Your soul, your mind, your body, your spirit, everything that God has given you, you are to be a good steward over it. So it's not wrong to exercise. I'm not telling you that. It's not wrong to eat right. It's not wrong to get good sleep and all of these things. But what the enemy is trying to do is he's trying to tip the scale. We're going to make physical health very important, and what ends up happening is my soul, I'm losing out, and I'm deteriorating in the spiritual realm. You, first of all, you can be healthy in your body and soul by the help of the Lord, and you don't have to be spiritually deteriorated. He makes it seem like, or he pushes you so that you have to make a choice of one or the other. If you choose God first, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and what else? His righteousness and all things will be added unto you. There will always be time for the things of this life as long as we make sure that we get our soul right. We get our priorities right. Okay? And so the Bible says that we are to set our affection on things above and not on things of this earth. You can't exercise enough. You can't eat right enough. You can't do all the things that the health industry is telling you enough to help you live forever. It's not going to happen. And so what is happening, while we're spending all our time in these other areas, whatever area it might be, maybe the acquisition of wealth, Maybe whatever it is where we are allowing ourselves to be turned away from God and put our energy and effort into those things. Meanwhile, we're neglecting the matter of our soul. Listen, all of those things will be as nothing when we have to see the Lord. Okay? And so we have to shift. We have to change our hearts and our minds and say, Lord, help me to prioritize you and the things of God. Let my choices be first towards you and the things of God. And then as you give time and energy, I've noticed that since I've been trying to get in shape, as long as I take care of, listen, this is a, this may be a secret, I'm not sure. This may be a secret. When I say take care of, not just time, but quality time with the Lord, there's always, he'll give me energy to exercise. He'll help me make good food choices if I let him. He'll do all of it. I'll get good sleep, all of those things. This may be, and I'm not telling you to go with God so you can get in shape. I ain't telling you that, but I'm telling you that's what I have noticed. I'm biking all over America. Not really, but I'm biking a little bit. But the point is, God has given me the time and the ability to do that. And I notice that when I make my health, my wealth, I make that more important than the things of God, things never go right. Okay? So, there's no guarantee that your health will remain as good as it is. So what ends up happening is, if something touches our mind and we don't have the Lord to help us, then how are we going to reason with the Lord? I'm just asking. How are we going to make our peace with him? We hadn't made peace with him. Now something, this happens often. It happens often. How can I say that? Because this is what I do. I was messing around with this drug. Somebody gave me something, and somebody gave them. Let me say it this way. Somebody gave them something, and they ain't been right ever since. Well, how you gonna reason with the Lord? You can't even, you don't have the ability to even make sense of what you're saying. You can't even form a proper sentence. How you going to reason with the Lord? But do you know that God, those souls that get caught in those situations, do you know God dealt with them time and time again before those things happen? And they made choices. May God help us. Something can touch your body. And then you become angry at God. I've seen that happen. Any number of things can happen. Our health is fragile. Our life is fragile. And so, again, now or later, right? We have the time and the opportunity now. Today is the day of what? Salvation. And when is the accepted time? Now is the accepted time. When you have time and opportunity to do something about what's going on with you, then you need to do that by the help of the Lord. I'm not saying that. God is saying that. That's what the Word of God is saying. And I am echoing what He's saying because that's the message this morning. Stop procrastinating by the help of the Lord. Stop making excuses. Stop letting excuses be given to you to hinder you along your way. Because there's no way that we can guarantee that these opportunities that we're having are going to still be there when we get good and ready to do something about it. Okay? I'm going to read a poem, and I want you to hear what it says. I want you to get a hold of it. I want you to make heaven your home. I want to make heaven my home. The best way is to get in the gates now and work your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the best way. All right? This poem was written by Brother Ulysses Phillips. It is entitled Procrastination. And under procrastination, it says, it's your choice. Okay. It says, unto the youth, the gospel came. To the young person, the truth of God's word came. Unto a youth, the gospel came, exhorting him in Jesus' name. To turn from sin, embrace the truth, and serve the Lord in days of youth. To exhort is to give godly counsel. And so the counsel was given to the young man to embrace the truth, go away from sin, and serve the Lord while you're young. Give your heart to the Lord while you're young. I know the Lord is talking to you. I know he's talking to you. Listen to his voice. Yield unto the Lord by the help of the Lord. The youth replied, I know that's right, but I won't turn from sin tonight. A few more pleasures I will seek, and then I'll turn, perhaps, next week. So what was that right there? That was a choice. Notice that the young man said, or the young woman said, I know that's right, but I won't turn to him tonight. We know what's right. We know what's going to help us. But may God help us to make the right decision and the right choice and to do it now. But next week came, and still his heart was not inclined from sin to part. A few more days in sin I'll live, and then my heart to God I'll give. This is talking about procrastination. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Okay? He says, days passed by and months rolled on, and still he sang the same old song. Not now, but later on, I'll pray for God to wash my sins away. The months and years went by so fast, from youth to middle age he passed. Now he's middle age. And yet his sins were not forgiven, nor was his name enrolled in heaven. From middle age to old he went, his body neath, the years was bent. I want you to pay attention here, special attention. His conscience, once so keen to feel, no more was stirred at God's appeal. And I'm going to pause here in the poem. This is how it happens. We keep pushing the Lord off. And what ends up happening is there is a searing process to the conscience. There's damage that's done to the conscience. Okay? It receives injury. And with injury, what happens is you have what's like a callus or a scar that forms over the conscience. Okay? And so when the Lord, later on, he's dealing with our hearts. See, when we're young, we hear the Lord, we know it's right, but we keep pushing him away. We keep talking about later and all of these types of things. So the conscience is receiving searing, is receiving injury. And so then, later on in life, God is still calling us. He's still wanting to help us. But for one reason or another, because of the searing of the conscience, because of the damage that has occurred to our conscience, it's not penetrating our hearts. Our minds are different now. See, it's been okay. I've been young and I've done well. I'm in middle age. I've done well. I've got this going for me. I got that going for me. And so I feel like I'm okay. Everything is looking good, so I must be okay. And all the while, as God was dealing with our hearts and we're turning him away, something was going on. Our conscience was being seared. It was being damaged. And then now, the voice of the Lord, when it once was loud and clear, and we had good understanding, now it's different now. We don't hear the Lord anymore like we used to. We don't see things the way that we used to. So his conscience, once so keen to feel, no more was stirred at God's appeal. God was still calling. Procrastination in its awful stealth. It's something. You understand that the person, the youth, he knew it was right. That's the key. He knew it was right. He understood that he needed to get his heart right with the Lord. The whole time he knew that. But what he did was he kept pushing it off. Pushing it off. You see the danger there? And so it says here, procrastination in its awful stealth had robbed his soul of heaven's wealth. And so at last, to sin a slave, he died to fill a Christless grave. May God have mercy. Nobody wants to be lost. Nobody needs to be lost. You don't have to be lost. But you do have to make a choice for the Lord. You have to. And then you have to continue to make choices to support your original choice. O souls, behold, God says today, turn now from all your sins away, lest you should reach that your doleful fate, and you cry at last, too late, too late. There is an ultimate time where mercy runs out, and there's no more mercy. And so what comes after mercy is judgment, right? Mercy is for this side of eternity. Mercy is for the here and the now. Mercy is God's voice talking to you and dealing with your heart. Mercy is when things happen, he's that still small voice that's dealing with your heart. That's mercy. Mercy is when you come to an altar of prayer, wherever that might be, whether it be in service, whether it be at home, whatever, and you sincerely seek the Lord with your heart by the grace and help of God. Mercy meets you there and deals with you and works with you and blesses you and helps you. But you understand that as long as you stay on the side of mercy and grace, you're in good shape. But if you keep resisting mercy and grace, what happens is we resist. Sometimes people resist mercy and grace, and then when it's too late, guess what they want? Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace is on this side of eternity. Okay? So take advantage of your mercy and grace now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You have a need in your soul. Grab on to mercy. Grab on to grace now. That way, it does two things. We have a song that says, I am coming, Lord, to thee. As long as the Lord sees you coming, he's going to extend mercy and grace towards you. But as you resist the Lord, as you push the Lord away, it's going to come a time where the mercy and the grace, that's done. And so we want to be moving towards the Lord at all times. So we can stay in his good graces, stay in the place of mercy. And then the other thing is, if, for example, something were to happen unexpected, then the Lord knows us. He have a relationship with us. Our relationship is intact with us. And that's just the will of the God. God allowed that to happen, and we leave here and go home and be with him. That's the way it works. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you have a need in your soul, if you have a need in your soul, salvation, deliverance, a closer walk with him, it don't matter what it is. There has been a special appeal made by the Lord this morning. And when God makes a special appeal, he's obligating himself to help you. If you have a need in your soul this morning, come seek the Lord this morning. He will surely meet you there, and the Lord will bless and help you. I thank you for your time and your attention. Your prayers for me. My goal of mine is to make heaven my home. I want you to make it too. You pray for me, I will be praying for you.